This call is being recorded.
Hello, is anybody online right now?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little tired, but that seems to be a norm. But I'm doing pretty good. How are you all doing?
We're doing okay.
Do I sound fairly clear?
Yes.
Okay. I'm pretty much ready to start. So we will, I'm hoping to complete the ninth chapter of Judges on this evening. And so last week, I believe we stopped at around the, I want to say the 41st verse or the 42nd verse. So there are, I think, 16 verses remaining to the ninth chapter. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to look at the rest of this passage tonight. And after I pray, I'll kind of say how I'm looking to talk about this, I guess. So I'm going to go ahead and pray. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and look at your scriptures again in this holy text. I'm asking that you will help me to be clear and plain on this evening, and that your word will resonate in our hearts, and that it will touch us however you want it to touch us, whether it be encouraging, whether it be a reprimand or both. When we come to feast at the table where the bread of life has been broken, we want to eat. Naturally, dear Lord, I remember even when I was a child, there were times when I didn't want to eat the food that was put before me, but I realized that it was necessary for my body. And through the course of time, you helped me to develop a taste for foods that at that time I never thought that I would eat. I ask that you help us that as we go through your word, dear Lord, that we will not be selective of the parts that we think should not apply to us or that we don't want to apply to us, but that we will ingest your word and be strengthened and or corrected by it. I ask that you again help us in seeking truth. When we're going through our days, dear Lord, sometimes with physical ailments, sometimes encumbered by responsibilities, and even stressed, Lord, yes, I said stressed because you know it, but you told us not to fret for anything, but through prayer and supplication, you give us the chance and the opportunity to make our requests made known unto you. So we're asking the Lord that however we find ourselves, that you give us the strength to be able to go through. Thank you for seeking truth. It's been a while since I've asked, but I ask that you help those who are in distant lands, dear Lord, who are actually going through persecution. Help us in our homes to be faithful. Help us when we're alone to be faithful. Help us when we're driving and on our job to be faithful to you. These things I ask in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, as we finish up the ninth chapter of Judges, it is my aim to talk. I don't know how successful I'm going to be in just actually talking, but that's what I'm wanting to do. I am going to try to look at some historical passages in the Bible. I guess you could say they're all historical. But after I give my title, I think it might make sense in a little bit. But I want to look at some passages historically, some prior to this particular text tonight. Then I'll come back to the text where we were last week and kind of flesh out these last verses. And then at the end of what I'm talking about, I want to make an ultimate application. So I guess you say, well, what is my title on tonight? My title is Vengeance is Mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Well, last week, I think I had given it a title, You Reap What You Sow, in going through it. So let me try and develop this. So just so you know where we're going to be a little bit in Genesis, of course, in Judges. Look at a few verses in Deuteronomy, and then we'll, Lord, we'll end up maybe in Matthew and or Psalms just a little bit. We'll try and talk fairly at a pace where you hopefully won't be too confused. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. What we have going on in this particular passage of Judges, if I could kind of bring us back up to date. Gideon, a man who had been God's servant and was faithful to deliver God's people from the oppression of the Midianites, had passed off of the scene. And the Bible tells us that Gideon had a number of sons. Gives us to know that he had 70 sons, and there was one son who was born of a concubine, and we say that it looks like the scriptures would have us to know that Abimelech was one who was disdained because of the fact of how he had come into the world. It didn't look like he was really chosen or favored necessarily because his mother was a concubine. This Abimelech decides that after Gideon has died that he wants to take rulership unto himself, and he decides to kill 70 of Gideon's sons. One of Gideon's sons by the name of Jotham escapes. And as Jotham escapes, he finds his way up the top of a mountain. And at the moment, I don't really remember the name of the mountain. You can go back and read this chapter, the ninth chapter. And as Jotham stands atop of this mountain, and he's somewhat a distance from Abimelech and all his men, he gives a parable. And in the parable that he gives them, he gives Abimelech and the men of Shechem a warning. Now, when Jotham gives this warning to them, Jotham is speaking to his brethren. As a matter of fact, Abimelech, he was an Israelite. The men of Shechem, they were Israelites. And these were people who had the knowledge of what God had said to them. Well, through Moses and through those who had already come on and been judges, if you will. Interesting thing about Jotham, he's standing up atop this mountain and he's giving out, I believe, what God would have them to know. It's as if you have a chance to turn about and to get your life right. Well, Abimelech didn't want to hear any of that. Do you remember that Abimelech decided that he would take 70 pieces of silver from a temple that was devoted to a god? Some people think that it was devoted to a goddess. And he took money from this this temple of false worship, of false god that they knew that they should not have done. And he took that money, and it looked like he paid one piece of silver for the life of all of the brethren that he killed. Jotham gives a parable. And he tells them that there's certain kind of trees that come up, and it's like the people, the trees come out and say, well, we want to make you a king. Say, Gary, you've already taught all that. Yes, I know. So we're going to skip just a little bit. I want us to come back to it in a few minutes, how Jotham seemed to end his, his judgment to these people. But what I want to do right now is I want to turn to Genesis. So I need you to bear with me. So I'm going to try to make this plain tonight. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. There are traces throughout the Bible where we can look historically and see how God feels about things. I think what happens so many times for people who say they go to church, or people who say that they love God, or people who say they have a personal relationship, they might read the Bible or read a Bible verse and feel good about themselves. But to understand the pattern of God and his judgment, his righteousness, his holiness, his sovereignty, his anger, his pleasure, I think sometimes the so-called church seems to forget about this. So this might be a message tonight that might not make us happy. Then again, it might make us happy. But what we ought to see is that God is faithful to what he has said. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Let's turn to Genesis, the fourth chapter. We are very, very, very familiar with what it has here. This is a passage where it speaks about Cain and Abel.
And there's three verses that I'm wanting us to look at because my title says, Vengeance is Mine, saith the Lord. The Bible gives us to know something about these two brothers that were given or come to, how do I say, this world through Adam and Eve. Let's look at the 8th verse through the 10th verse. So we know about how they give their offerings, and Cain was jealous of his brother. So picking up at Genesis, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse, and I'm reading through the 10th verse. Look at how it reads. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. What in the world does that particular passage have to do with where we are in Judges? Cain killed an innocent man. The Bible said that Abel went to talk to his brother, and it was brought out to me years ago when we were seeking truth, learning about Genesis. It said Abel must have been telling Cain something that he did not want to hear. Because when Jesus refers to about the prophets, he says the blood of righteous Abel, and he mentions Abel as a prophet. So it looks like, based on what Jesus has said, Abel was telling Cain something, and Cain, because he did not like what his brother said, he killed him. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. God deals with Cain because of what he had done, and though Abel was dead, his blood cried up from the ground, crying for justice. We're going to see something similar as we finish the chapter in Judges tonight. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. And we're going to make a great application. Well, we're talking about Abimelech. Abimelech, that son that was born of a concubine. He went and he talked to his family members in Shechem. These people who were supposed to be Israelites, these people, well, who were. And knowing what God had said about how you were to choose a king, Abimelech decides, I'm gonna set myself up, and I need some base men. So Abimelech kills Midian's sons. Well, we've talked about that. Well, let's turn back to what Jotham said before he ran away. Jotham, again, is at the top of this mountain. Judges, the 9th chapter, the 19th and the 20th verse is where I'm going now. And I'm hoping this is making sense because this might be a quick lesson tonight. But let's turn and look at what Jotham says before he finishes the pronouncement of judgment. Judges, the 9th chapter, 19th and the 20th verse here. Jotham says this, and he's speaking to these men of Shechem who now are supporting, who are backing Abimelech in his wickedness. Instead of telling him what you seek to do is wrong, instead of the men of Shechem saying, did you not hear the words of Jotham? Did you not hear that what Jotham says is righteous? Did you not hear it? They back Abimelech up. Well, let's look at these two verses. This is Jotham as he speaks to Abimelech and these base men. Drew, I want you to read it. Can you read it for me?
If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbaal and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Millo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Millo, and devour Abimelech.
So we've seen this verse before. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Jotham is selling there. He says, you need to think about something. Weigh what you have done. Weigh the conceits, did that make sense, of your heart, the thoughts of your heart, and what you aim to do. Consider the cost. If Abimelech has been righteous before you, then you rejoice in what Abimelech is about to do. And when he says this, he's calling to their mind to understand that Abimelech is unrighteous. What he has done is unrighteous. He is calling judgment before these people. Listen, if then Abimelech has truly dealt sincerely with Jerubbaal, that is Gideon and his offspring, those that were killed, and let him rejoice. But if not, then judgment be upon you, and you shall be destroyed, not only from yourself, but also from Abimelech. Last week, we gave the title, You Reap What You Sow. This time, we're titling the end of this, Vengeance is Mine, saith the Lord to us. You look down at these last few verses here, around the 22nd verse or the 23rd verse. It says in the 23rd verse, then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. Now, let's bring us back up to date where we were. God allowed an evil spirit. Not that he orchestrated it, per se, but he worked with the evil heart that was in Abimelech because Abimelech did not want to change. So he took what Abimelech was going to do, Lord have mercy, and he just let it just go on. He just let it go. God does not force anybody. So as we share this message tonight, we need to understand something. God might allow some time, but he remembers, Lord have mercy. So when God sends this evil spirit, there becomes some chaos civilly amongst the brothers of Shechem. Well, we were introduced last week to a historical figure by the name of Zebul. Abimelech had a servant who by the name of Zebul realized that there was this other person who was by the name of, let's see what his name was, Gaal, G-A-A-L. And he was coming, and he was coming against the men of Shechem. So Abimelech now gets upset because who are you to come and try and take over my city? What happened? The men that once backed Abimelech now are against Abimelech and they're supporting God. And so there's civil conflict amongst the men of God. This is none other than what we see that Jotham had said was going to happen. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So these men begin to fight, and Abimelech, it looks like he's going to be victorious for a while. So God had sent this spirit, and we see that the chaos is taking place. Before we go and we pick right back up with the story, I want us to just turn back just a little bit more, and I want us to see traces in history where these men were warned by God. Jotham warned them, and they already had a knowledge. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy for a brief moment. This message tonight, you say it might seem a little strange. Well, there's just some points that I need us to understand. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. In the book of Deuteronomy, before Moses dies, in this 32nd chapter, he warns the men of Israel about certain things, and he says, you know what, I can tell you right now, before I even die, you guys are just so bad, you're just pitiful, and it's and I'm going to put it this way, woe to you, because God is going to deal with you. I just want us to look at two verses in this chapter of the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 28 and 29, and if you get a chance, go back and read the entire thing. It's good. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, verses 28 and 29. Listen at what this says here. This is Moses being led by the Spirit of God, talking about his brethren who would not keep in their hearts the will of God. They would decide that they would throw God's judgment aside, take to themselves false gods, and God would deal with them. Let's see what Moses says to them. Now, this is prior to the time in Judges, which makes it even worse because they had history refer to, thank you, Dree, to God's pattern. Listen to what it says in the 28th verse of Deuteronomy. For they are a nation. Boy, I'm hearing some feedback. If you could turn your volume down, please, that would be wonderful. This is what it says in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter in the 28th verse. For they are a nation void of counsel. Neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their letter why am I choosing this? We're looking at some people who, first of all, had God's precepts. We're looking at some people who had had different judges up and delivered them. We're looking at some people who decided that Abimelech will rule over us. We're looking at some people who, when Joshua stood atop of a mountain with the platform of God's holy judgment, they decided that they still wanted to follow wickedness. So we see that when Moses, prior to the going to the promised land, he tells them what they're going to be like. Now, I just want to interject something here. Let me calm down. I told my wife I was going to talk. It's not too many generations removed from the time that Moses said that. You say, well, Gary, yes, it was. You said this judge reigned for 40 years, this judge reigned for 40 years, and this judge reigned for 40 years or 80 years. If we were to compare it to the time of Genesis when the relatives were living 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 years, and they knew because they could talk to their kinfolk about the history of God and the pattern of God. Well, God had it written down. They had it written down. And as a matter of fact, in the 32nd chapter of Deuteronomy, Moses said, won't you put this law inside the Ark of the Covenant? It's going to testify against you. So they were supposed to know these things. God's judgment went out. And just like he did with Cain, God would repay the judgment. I mean, God would avenge the blood. Abel died. Cain, you're not getting away. Well, you slew 70 men. You're not going to get away. You're going to reap what you sow. And vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Is it making sense? Now what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the text. Now, we're going to start around the 41st, 42nd verse, and I'm going to ask my wife to read all the way down, and it's going to talk just a little bit about it, because I think, for the most part, it's self-explanatory, but there's an application that I want to make at the end. So, lest you forgot, let me just kind of bring us back to it a little bit. Gaz was a man who was against Abimelech. God had taken the men who was with Abimelech, those base men, and he had, I don't want to say coerced, he convinced them, if you will, what is it that you're going to serve with this man, you know? You guys are from a place that used to be of the Canaanite people. You should trust me. But Abimelech goes in and he destroys them. Now we're going to pick back up where it seems Abimelech is victorious. 41. I want you to go there for us.
And Abimelech dwelt at Arumah. And Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren, that they should not dwell in Shechem. And it came to pass on the morrow, that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. And he took the people and divided them into three companies, and laid wait in the field, and looked. And behold, the people were come forth out of the city, and he rose up against them and smote them. And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate at the city. And the two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was therein, and beat down the city, and sowed it with salt. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into an hold of the house of the god Pharaoh. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech gat him up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bow from the tree, and took it, and laid it on his shoulder, and said unto the people that were with him, what you have seen me do, make haste, and do as I have done. And all the people likewise cut down every man his bow, and followed Abimelech, and put them to the hold, and set the hold on fire upon them, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also. About 1,000 men and women.
I want you to stop right there. Okay, my wife has just read about, I guess, looks like 10 to maybe 12 verses. I want to come back in here. I want to talk about it because if you haven't read this before and you're hearing this name and that name. So, okay, I'm a little confused. So let's bring a little bit of clarity to what we've got going on here. Okay, the verse prior to what she read, it talked about how Abimelech chased Gaal, and so he fled. Now Abimelech is pretty much, he's seeking vengeance for all of the ones who once were with him and turned against him. But what we have, and I'm just going to give you a little bit, then we're going to go back and look at verse by verse till we get to that 49th verse. So Abimelech is now upset at the men who have basically betrayed him. And so he's now, his aim is to kill them. His aim is to destroy them. It didn't matter whether the city was the main city. Some commentators will say he destroyed the main city of Shechem. Why would he do this? What did Jotham tell him? Jotham told him, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour you. Now, let's look at something. We've got brethren fighting against brethren, but how did it start? Abimelech killed 70 men of like a base fellow, rose up to kill 70 men, and he did not go about it the way God wanted him to do it. In other words, what happened? Abimelech didn't honor the very family of the man that delivered Israel. He saw them as nothing. Jotham gave them a warning, but Abimelech still does not care. Before I go in and I talk a little bit about these verses, I want to say something, because when we look at the scriptures, we need to understand that God is trying to show us man. God is trying to show us woman. God is trying to show us what we call humanity, that it is frail, that it is wicked, and unless it remains in his will, in his judgment, that he will deliver his word, and that's going to mean destruction if you're outside of his will. Now let's go back and look at it. The Bible says here in the 41st verse of this 9th chapter, and Abimelech dwelt at Arumah, and Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren that they should not dwell in Shechem. On last week, what I was seeing was it is believed that Abimelech gave his officer authority over Shechem, and so he did not live in the same place. So when Gaal had heard all this noise from, Zebul had heard all this noise and big mouth talking from Gaal, he went and showed and told Abimelech. So now Abimelech is like, we're going to fight. Zebul, which was Abimelech's servant, was happy to go and fight on behalf of his master, if you will. So they are now on the attack against those who were against Abimelech. Let's continue on, 42nd verse. And it came to pass on the morrow that the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. What it looks like here is one day had passed where Abimelech was victorious in chasing the men away. And so it looks like, and I didn't say this on last week, there's scholars who believe that this was happening around the time of a harvest. So it looks like the people of Shechem have gone back out in the fields, doing what they do, reaping the harvest, if you will, not thinking that Abimelech is going to come back and still attack. Well, Abimelech is infuriated. How dared you go against me in spite of what I've done, in spite of the example of what I've shown you. You don't go against me. So Abimelech is still on the attack. The next day, Abimelech is like, I will utterly destroy you. So he goes out with his men into the field, and let's continue where we are, 43rd verse. And he took the people and divided it into three and laid wait in the fields and looked, and behold, the people were come forth out of the city, and he rose up against them. They looked like they weren't expecting him, and he rose up against them, and he smote them. This is the very city that he had set up. How many people have God's judgment and they decide to walk away when someone has given them, shouted from the mountaintop, just as Jotham did, someone who's opened up the word and is trying to give the people deliverance? Look, the Bible says something that we ought to understand. It says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Galatians, I believe, is the fifth chapter around the first and or the second verse. It says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And it goes on and it talks about how sin will make a slave of you. Lord have mercy. Listening to something years ago and somebody said something and I was like, oh my gosh. Here I go. I'm gonna try to repeat it. I'm coming back to the scriptures. Sin will take you further than you want to go, will keep you longer than you want to be kept, and will cost you more than you are willing to pay. When we look in Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, and I believe we look at the 29th verse, it says, would that these people were wise and would consider their letter in. I'm turning back to it because it's good enough to be read again, is it not? I said I was going to talk. It's just some things that we need to think about as the people of God. Because do you know that people in the modern day church feel that grace allows them the ability to live and do any kind of thing that they want to, even though Jesus Christ spilled his blood and we're supposed to represent him? Well, I'm going to try to make a connection. Deuteronomy, if you were there, I want you to read it for me. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, the 29th verse. I'm going to try to make a point. Hopefully I won't forget what I was saying. Are you there?
Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end.
Okay, that's good. Moses said, these people, before they go over here and start acting buck wild and acting like fools, they need to consider what I'm telling them. These people here did not consider it. Jotham, he is now destroying these people. Listen, saint. Listen, people. For it doesn't matter whether you've heard. Well, it does matter. It matters that you've heard the word. And it matters that people who don't want to open up the word, that they have a knowledge. The Bible says that they have a knowledge. We need to learn to consider the letter N. Let's continue on with this because we want to try to finish up with this and make our application toward the end. These people were smitten because they feel like Abimelech is done. Let's go on. I'm at the 44th verse now. And Abimelech, well, then first of all, Abimelech divides the company up. It sounds like, what do you say? Into three companies. It sounds like he's doing like Gideon, doesn't it? He killed Gideon's son, but it's like he's doing something like Gideon. We're going to see where he does a little bit like Gideon again. Too bad he didn't follow the good example that Gideon left for them. Let's continue on. Verse 44. And Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood at the entering of the gate of the city. And two other companies ran upon all the people that were in the field and slew them. They got business on their mind. We're going to kill these people who have vaulted themselves up against your authority, Abimelech. Let's go on to the 45th verse. And Abimelech struck against the city all that day. He took the city. And he slew the people that was therein, and he beat down the city and sowed it with salt. And when he sowed it with salt, it was like one of the things that I was reading. It was like it was supposed to be a perpetual, a place where there would be no productivity of the land. Now, I'm reminded of something that Jesus said. I believe he says, you're the salt of the earth, but if your salt has lost its savor and so forth, it is no good except to be thrown down on the ground and to be trodden under the foot of men. Trodden under the foot of men. That means uselessness. So what we have here is a picture where Abimelech is trying to pronounce judgment. His judgment, he thinks, is over God's judgment. Let's understand something. Slow down, Gary. Somehow Abimelech is given the time to do all of this wickedness. Do you think that he was thinking about God in all of this? God has given this individual over to his own ways. He's given him over to his own corrupt ways. He's destroying the city. He's destroying himself, and he does not realize it. Can't we see the pattern in God's word? Here is Cain. He's killed the one that was trying to help him, trying to deliver him, and now he's got a mark on his face. And I questioned, I said, why did God let him live? Well, if you would understand the scripture, it seemed like there was God's law in the land, but as far as being officially as God's law in the land, so I believe it's got something to do with that. Well, let's go back to this. There is chaos going on. should not have been. Let's just continue on here. He is destroying the city. I'm at the 46th verse now. And when all the men of the Tower of Shechem heard it, they entered into a hold of the house of the God of Berith. And it was told Abimelech. See, every time they get ready to do something, somebody tells Abimelech. Remember when God started speaking? Somebody told Abimelech. I think it was Zebul. Then when they go out to the field, somebody tells Abimelech. Now they're going to this particular place. It was a place of the false god, false worship. Somebody tells Abimelech. Why couldn't somebody tell Abimelech, you need to stop this state wickedness so that you can be saved, so that you can be led by the men of God? Why couldn't somebody tell him that? Too many people want to have their own way instead of the way of God. Let's continue on with this, lest we not finish. Who was told? Abimelech, I'm going back to 46 and 47. Listen, and when all the men of the Tower of Shechem heard that, they entered into a hold of the house of the God of Berith, 47th verse. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the Tower of Shechem were gathered together. Now, I see something here that God would probably want us to take note of. Do you know there's a verse, and I didn't look it up, it says something about the word of God is like a strong tower, and all the people run to it, and they are safe. You know what? People who are wicked, Jesus even commends the world for having a wisdom to do its wickedness. Why can't we look at this and see that these people see that they're in trouble and they run to a tower? But how did they build the tower? They didn't trust in God. They trusted in themselves. So when now that the problems come, they don't have the God of Abraham. They don't have the God of Isaac. They don't have the God of Jacob. But they're looking for safety. They run to a tower that's going to fall. Now, somebody hopefully can find that verse, because God is like a tower, and we run to a safety. Saints, it's in his judgment. Saints, it's in his word. If you are tempted to walk outside the will of God, be corrected by his word. Consider the letter N. Well, these men run to a tower, and it's not going to save them. Why? Because Joshua said, you're going to be devoured by the fire that comes out of him. Let's continue. I'm at the 48th verse. We just have a few more verses from this text, and then I'm going to try to make an application. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Listen, 48th verse. And Abimelech got him up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people that were with him, and Abimelech took an axe in his hand. I think of Paul Bunyan, but it's not Paul Bunyan. And guess what Abimelech did? He said, and cut down a bow from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder and said unto the people that were with him, would you have seen me do? Make haste and do as I have done. Now, what did Gideon say when he broke that earthen vessel with the light in it? He said, would you see me do? Here is Abimelech again. Sound like he's trying to be like his father, but not to do good, not to do good. So guess what the people did? They were going to follow this wickedness. And all the people likewise cut down every man his bow and followed wickedness. They followed wickedness. They followed wickedness. Now, I want to say something. Abimelech's name, again, unless we forget, I think it, I want to say it was who is like God. God is my father, or something along the lines of that. I forgot where I wrote it. It was representative of the king. God is my king, or something like that. Well, we don't see that reflection. Let's go back to where we were, verses 48 and 49. Abimelech cuts down some trees because he wants to. He's going to set something ablaze. He's going to set something on fire. Remember, these men run to this tower now because they're afraid of Abimelech and his men. So Abimelech's like, let's cut down some trees. We're going to lay these trees up here, and we're going to set this tower afire. Whatever you put your trust in, if God is not there, during the process of time, go back and read Genesis, the 4th chapter. It'll say in one part, and it came to pass. And then I think in another verse around where we were tonight, I think it's going to say something like, during the process of time, or it came to pass again. Though wickedness may seem to prevail, God sees, and vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Well, these people are now thinking that they're going to escape from Abimelech. So the men with Abimelech, they all do as he did, and they cut down some branches now, so, or some boughs, if you will. Now, if we go back and remember the parable, because commentaries kind of say this, so I'll mention it as well, because there may be something there. The bramble, that thorn bush that was there, said, "You dwell in my shadow." There was no protection. There was no shadow. There was no production. There was no, what can I say, pleasantness in it. Now, here they're going to take one of the commentaries, said thorn bushes, dry boughs, almost indicative of the parable, and they're going to go try it. They're going to go set this tower ablaze. Listen to how I'm going back to 49, and I'm going to read down a few more verses. And all the people likewise cut down every man his bow and followed Abimelech and put them to the hold. That's the hold that we just read about a verse or two before. I was trying to find it. In verse 46, it says that they enter into the hold. So when we get to 49 and we see then put them to the hold, it's the same place, and set the hold on fire upon them. And there's some that believe that this was the tower of Milo or Milo that was mentioned, I think, in verse 6 of this very same chapter. What happened to these men that were in the tower looking for safety? So that all of the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. These people perished because of this wicked so-called leader who had put himself up in front of them. Now, so this is where my wife stopped. But Abimelech is not through, because the people who had decided that they, who once they trusted in him and once supported him, it looks like that it didn't just rest in Shechem. It spread a little bit abroad. Now, Drew, what I want you to read is I want you to read verses 50 through 57. We're going to comment on this and then try to make our application toward the end.
Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women, and all they of the city, and shut it to them, and gat them up to the top of the tower. And Abimelech came in unto the tower, and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull.
Oh.
Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor-bearer, and said unto him, "Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him." And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed, every man unto his place. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, in slaying his 70 brethren. And all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their head. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal.
What we got going on in these last few verses of this particular chapter? Abimelech, mad. He goes and he attacks the people who once supported him. He killed about 1,000 men and women at the tower of the main city where he was before, his mama's city, Shechem. Abimelech now decides, you know what, I'm not through. So it's about 10 miles northeast of Shechem where he goes to this other city, and he sees that there's a tower there. He intends to destroy these people as well. Look at Abimelech going in all his might. Look at Abimelech still not trusted in the judgment. No repentance, no remorse, none of this stuff, and he's going to do what he's going to do. But Jotham has given the judgment of God. Do not presume upon God. Let's touch these verses here so we can make an application at the end. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. 50th verse. Then went Abimelech to Thebez, or Thebez, or however you pronounce it, and camped against that city and took it. So he's now overtaking this particular city with the desire to do the exact same thing that he did before. What did he do before he burned the tower of Shechem? 51st verse. Listen, but there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and all of the city, and shut it to them, and gathered them up to the top of the tower. So these people go up to the top. Now, I was reading a little something on, I guess, the dimensions, and so let me see if I can remember, because I did not write this down. I believe they say, scholars believe that it was about 65 feet wide, 45 feet long. So as to how many people this could hold, I don't know. But what we see is that there's an elevation. So not understanding exactly how the towers were built, because I didn't look that up, it would house or, let's say, give refuge, possibly, to many people. Abimelech doesn't care. So he's going to try and burn this particular tower down as well. I hope it's making sense. So these people go up to the top of this tower, 52nd verse, and Abimelech came into the tower and fought against it and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. I'll burn this house down. I got my wood, I got my fire, and I got my fist anger because you chose to betray me. Well, God says, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Deuteronomy 32nd chapter 29 verse. You did not consider your letter in, and you continue to persist in your arrogance and your conceited will. Listen to what happens in this 53rd verse. It seems very unlikely that this would happen, but God chooses what we would call, and this is the way it's, I think it's phrased in Corinthians, God chooses the base things or the foolish things to confound the wise. Read Corinthians, the first chapter, somewhere around in there. Here is a woman. I don't even know. She might have been an old woman. Without a name. But she's going to get some praise in the scripture. She's going to get some praise. She's going to do God's will. Here's a strong, mighty man that destroy the city. Another thing he wanted to do, like Gideon destroyed the Tower of Peniel. You remember that when Gideon told those people,
you ain't even done this yet.
Well, this woman, scholars believe that they talk about the millstone, that there's a big stone and a smaller stone that turned, and they say that the upper millstone at that time that was probably large enough or small enough for someone to pick it up. She picks this thing up, and God delivers a divine accuracy that it crushes the head of this particular individual. Doesn't it sound like something that you've read about in Genesis about the serpent, and you shall bruise his heel, you shall crush it? Doesn't it sound something like we get pictures in God's scriptures? Now, who's your father? Is your father Satan, or is your father God? Because there's going to be some crushing throughout history. There's been crushing throughout history. Jesus is mine, said the Lord. God allowed this woman to pick up a stone. Here is this so-called king, and he's rushing at the door. I said I was going to talk. He's rushing at the door. And she picks this thing up and she... Ow! And it's interesting. He realizes that it was a woman. I'm like, if this skull was crushed, and I believe it was, he did not die immediately.
Right.
The Bible says that no one's going to have an excuse. I can't say how this individual, that individual, I can't say how anybody's going to leave this earth. But the Bible says that no one will have an excuse, and some people are going to truly realize it before they enter into the next realm, before they enter into a consciousness when there's nothing that can be done to change the situation. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I'm in the 53rd verse, and a certain woman, let's read it real pretty like. And a certain woman cast a piece of a millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all and all to break his skull. That's how people read the Bible. Now, this is serious. This man is going to die. Listen, and so he's a little bit embarrassed. I imagine he's looking up. She might have been looking down like, I killed him, y'all. Like, I busted him upside the head. Well, let's read on 54th verse. Then he called hastily to a young man, his armor bearer, and said to him, draw thy sword and slay me. I'm too embarrassed that men say not of me, a woman slew him. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. Now, look, he's more embarrassed of being killed by a woman than he was at the fact that he was wrong.
Mm.
That's how people are. And I heard somebody say people are upset about the wrong damn thing. And this dude is upset. He's about to enter into eternity, and he's upset about the wrong thing. He should have considered his end. Now, we just got a few verses here, and I keep saying I'm going to make an application because I think it's the most important part that I may have to say. 55, 56, 57. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. Well, the problem solved, problem solved, you know? And they get ready to go home. But vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And Jotham said something, and it's recorded in the scriptures. I'm at Judges 9 and 20. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem in the house of Milo. And let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Milo and devour Abimelech. Do we not see that God's word has come to pass? Last two verses in Judges 9 chapter. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren. If God's pattern, then, was to have vengeance, Abel's blood was crying up. He doesn't forget. There are millions and millions and millions of babies who were aborted year after year, murdered year after year, killed year after year, and this country feels like we're all right. God is not going to forget. God is not going to forget. We see that God remembered, and he even allowed Abimelech to do wickedness because God doesn't force himself. And because that is true, he will allow one man to do an injustice over another man and or woman. Why? Because to God all men live. That's why we must live faithfully. And when things go wrong in our life or someone's life is taken, we understand that as we have been faithful to God, that's not it. Stephen stood while the people, I believe was probably bent over and all this, but he had the Holy Spirit within him to look up and see Jesus while they were killing him. Now let's go back to this last two verses. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father, and slaying his 70 brethren, 57 verse, and all the evil of the men of Shechem did God render upon their hands, and upon them that came, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. Jotham was lifted up to speak judgment, and the people refused. Now, what's this big application that I want to make? Just a few more verses, you all. Just a few more verses. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. If the blood of Abel was to be avenged, and if the blood of the 70 sons of Gideon were to be avenged, and none of them were redeemers, what about the blood of Jesus Christ? The blood of Jesus Christ, which was spilled because of injustice, God in his kindness, his mercy, and his long-suffering put his son on the cross for the sins of the world, and he expects the proper response. But my title for tonight was Vengeance is Mine, saith the Lord. So there's about six or seven more verses that I want us to look at, and then we're going to stop. I want to turn to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. We're going to look at the 4th through the 7th verse. Now you say, Gary, you forced this. Well, indeed, it may be true, but there's a point that I want to make. This is about a wedding banquet where the king sent out something. I want us to remember, Jotham gives the message. Jotham gives the call. Jotham gives them to know, look at where you are. Your response should be a certain way. Yeah, it's like he calls them to court. So I'm in Matthew 22, 4 through 7. This is not exactly the same, but there's a point. I ask that you remember the blood of Jesus Christ. This is a parable, if you will, and it's highlighting how God feels about his son. Listen, again, so you have to go back and read it from the beginning. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them what you are bid, and behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatling are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. This is the call. There's a judgment in the call. But they made light of it. Once they had the message from the king, they made light of it. Jotham was giving God's word. They made light of it. Abel was trying to tell Cain what was right. He made light of it. Now, Jesus, people making light of Jesus. Now listen at it again, this verse. But they made light of the message and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his service and entreated him spitefully and slew them. They killed him. Listen at verse 7. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. Vengeance is mine. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Now, I believe this is making reference to AD 70 when Christ walked the face of the earth and tried to get the religious leaders to hear. Because as you continue to read on, you're going to read about something else. My last few verses tonight. Let's turn to Psalms, the second chapter. Three verses I want to read about from this. Psalms, the second chapter. We're going to read verse 2, verse 4, verse 10. Verse 2, verse 4, verse 10. This is speaking about Jesus. It's a prophecy in here, if you will. Listen, it's talking about the world and how the leaders of the world want to rise up against Jesus. Now, we're talking about vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We've seen historical accounts of it. We've seen that the people of God back in the day of Gideon and after Gideon, they didn't listen. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We have something that we need to be paying attention to, even ourselves. Listen to how it reads. Verse 2, verse 4, verse 10. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Let's put it like this. Why does Abimelech rage? Why does Abimelech imagine a vain thing? Listen at the next verse. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, We're going to destroy him. That's what the next verse says. Why is this happening? Why is the world saying this? Why is the so-called church feeling like they got time to keep doing wickedly? That's not what God's grace is about. Let's get to the fourth verse here. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. These people from Shechem was killing each other. Fire coming out from them to kill Abimelech. Fire coming out from Abimelech to kill them. When the one who says that he loves God and trusts in God and he persists to walk outside of God's will, look at the confusion that can come in your life. Look at what you think is ordered. Look at what you think is ordered. Don't be deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. I tell you, he is not mocked. Galatians, I think we said 6, 6, or 7, and 8, or somewhere around there. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The Bible says that the king, God on high, he's going to laugh. Why? Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Last verse for tonight, 10th verse. Since God is above all things, knows all things, and is able to let you have your way, send in an evil spirit, give you the desires of your heart. If he is not your desire, he'll let you be consumed in and of your own wickedness. Well, 10th verse, consideration. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. The message went out in the various passages that we looked at. The message wasn't heeded in the examples that we looked at. Same for us and for the entire world. It says, if the word of God is Jotham shouting out, saying, while there is time, consider the letter in. There is much for us to recall. Maybe it's tedious, but is not his breath in our life from one moment to the next? Has he not delivered? They forgot. Shall we forget? Well, are we going to rage? Will we be in derision? Consider our letter in. Will the vengeance of the Lord be upon us? Or will we truly live in his grace and serve him, be obedient to him, seeking his strength daily? Now, this is to say that one will do exactly everything right, because when God, I'm not saying that's permission to sin. I'm saying that when God shines his light on you, there's no comparison. But to grow and to live in his will and to be obedient. For those who will reject his son, he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. That's where we're going to stop tonight. I don't know how long it was. I guess we're about the normal time. I'm going to pray, and then we'll be open, I suppose, if there's any
questions or thoughts. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a chance to continue in your word. Just ask that you help us to be sincere and serious about your word. Give us strength when we're weak. Give us strength when things are going on. Give us strength. We thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, and thank you for the blood that Jesus shed for us. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are, do I need to leave this on or turn it off? Leave it on? Okay. Well, we're open for a discussion if there's to be any on this evening.
I'm just going to say kiss the song.